This morning, I'd like to start in the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, and verse 16. It says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" I'm thinking about the gracious words that Christ had he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is a prophecy in Isaiah, but it's speaking of himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You know, the Lord anointed the words that Christ brought to the earth, the message that he gave. I want to look at Psalms in connection with this scripture, Psalms, the 45th chapter, another prophecy of Christ. Psalms 45 and verse 1, it says, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips." So this is Christ. This is a prophecy. "Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." There's more. I'm going to stop there. But I think about how it said, "Grace is poured into thy lips." You know, one place they went to apprehend Jesus, and they came back empty-handed. Said, "Where's he at?" And he said, they said, they answered, never man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. But I notice here in these scriptures in verse 5, it says, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. You know, the Lord had a way. There's a prophecy also of Christ in, I can't remember if it was one of the older couples there at the temple. It said, your son is set for the rise and fall of many in Israel. The mighty, the proud, they fail. The word of the Lord was like an arrow in the heart, conviction in the heart of his enemies, the enemies of God. But to those that were humble, that humbled their hearts and sought God, the words were words of life. They were gracious words. They were words of forgiveness. They were words of comfort, words of strength, words of help, words of encouragement. And I just appreciate, you know, Jesus seemed like he always knew what to say. He said the right words at the right time. He addressed things. He spoke to things, but his word was powerful. There's another scripture, a prophecy. It talks about thou rule the nations with a rod of iron. It's talking about the words of his mouth. It's talking about the conviction that came and the power that came with the words that he spoke. And that was the Holy Spirit working in the life of Christ. He said, grace is poured. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. You know, the Lord had, he knew what to say for the occasion. His words were fitting. They were appropriate. I looked at word gracious, and it says the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, gratitude, liberality, pleasure. His words were gracious words. And we see that here in this scripture in Luke. To preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. You know, Jesus didn't cater to the wealthy. He didn't cater to, in one place they came to him and said, we know that you're no respecter of persons. You're not influenced. You're not persuaded by what men think, what men's positions, who they are. You're not influenced and you're not moved by those things, but you speak the words. That was the testimony of his enemies that came to him. But I think about the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the gospel of Christ. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, the Lord had gracious words, and I think about there the apostles. You remember when they had left him, they had spoken about eating his blood and his flesh, and many walked away from him. And he asked his disciples, and I feel like that was probably a hard time for him. But he said, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter, he said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. Jesus came to bring words, the words of eternal life, to show us the way to heaven. to help us to be able to make heaven our home. That's, He helps us here. He blesses us here. Brother Galen brought out this morning, the Lord does so much for us here. But the ultimate goal is the words of eternal life, to show us the way to be able to make heaven our home. And He said, you're the only one that has the words of eternal life. I just thank the Lord so much for what He is. And 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter, the second chapter, and the first verse. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even at them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Just thinking about the word of the Lord and how powerful the truth that the Lord brought, and I'm so thankful today that men were inspired of God to write down the different things. Jesus never wrote a book. He didn't write anything down. But the apostles, the disciples, they wrote the words, they wrote the things that Christ spoke and the different times that He spoke them and what He said, and we have record today. And Jesus mentioned in one place, he said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. He said, the word that I have spoken, it will judge in the last day. That's what we're going to be judged by. That's what humanity is going to be judged by, is the word of Christ. And we know the Scripture said it will not pass away. But I think about the graciousness of Christ, the graciousness of the Word, and the different things came to my mind, the different situations that are in the Scripture, and one of them was when He was on the cross and the thief rebuked the other thief, and he said, you and I are perishing for our sins. We're getting our just due. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus spoke the words. Any suffering, any pain, He spoke the words, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can you imagine today, I can't, the comfort, the help that that response gave to that poor thief that was dying, that had nothing to offer. His just due. He was getting his just due. He had nothing to offer. He was a sinner. He was in trouble. And the words that Christ spoke to him, "This day, ye will be with me in paradise." You know, those words have comforted many, many, many people down through the years that have been kind of in troubled spots, that have been in trouble. These words, the thief, he didn't have an opportunity to get baptized. He didn't have an opportunity to take back what he had stolen. He didn't have anything to commend himself to God. But the words of life, the word came, "Thou shalt be with me this day in paradise." What gracious words from our Savior's lips. And I know it had to comfort that man's heart in his agony. I believe it sparked a hope in his heart that he had been forgiven. You know those words, the gospel to the poor? Isn't that a message of forgiveness? Isn't that a message that though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be white as wool? Jesus came to do that. He came to give life, to give hope, to give comfort and strength and help to people. I think about also another case where the woman that was brought to him taken in adultery. And I don't know about human nature, but I remember when I was in school, sometimes there was people that was picked on, and it seemed like everybody picked on them. I don't know. It's like the chicken. Once the chicken gets a hen or a chicken gets picked on, it seems like all of them. I've seen chickens with their tail feathers plucked clean out. Nothing there. Bleeding. But Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus wasn't, he didn't cater to the pride of man. He didn't cater to man's thoughts and man's pride. And this woman that was taken in adultery, she was being picked on. That was a very, very cruel thing that they did to her. Very cruel to drag her before Jesus and the crowd and the people that was there and to expose her sin before everybody. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. But Jesus said, "Him that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." You know, I believe Jesus knew that there wouldn't be no one that was going to throw a stone. And they were convicted. The word of the Lord, it hit their heart. It convicted them. And they realized they were guilty. They realized that they all walked out from the eldest to the youngest. And then those words that followed, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." She called him Lord. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." You know, the devil is in the condemning business. The devil likes to condemn. He likes to push down. He likes to oppress people in their minds, in their heart, in their spirit. He's an accuser of the brethren. He accuses. He takes away hope. He takes away glimmers of hope for the future, for better, something better. The devil likes to squelch all that, crush it down, destroy it. And Jesus, just the opposite. He comes to give life. He comes to bring hope. He comes to give encouragement and strength. You know, when they were on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is resurrected, and it said their eyes were withholden, and they were, oh boy, when you think about that, so wonderful. Are you a stranger here and don't know what's taking place in Jerusalem these days? Didn't know who they were talking to, did they? Are you a stranger here? You don't know what's happened in Jerusalem these days? A stranger, he was the central figure of the whole thing. But when they went in the house to break bread, it said their eyes were opened. And he vanished out of their sight. They ran back to Jerusalem so excited, so filled with wonder and hope, sorely amazed, like we heard this morning. And then they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we talked with him in the way as he opened up the scriptures? There was something down inside when Jesus was reasoning and opening up the prophecies of the scriptures concerning his crucifixion. They said, did our hearts not burn within us? We walked with him. You know that Elijah, when he talked about the voice of the Lord, it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the quake, and it wasn't in the fire and all those things, but a still small voice. He knew the voice of the Lord. You know, the Lord can speak to us. He still has gracious words today. He still has things to say to us, to help us with today. He wants to speak to our hearts. And the Lord usually doesn't use an audible voice. But if we get quiet and we get to earnestly seeking Him and we get rid of our distractions and we begin to really focus our attention upon the Lord, our hearts can begin to burn within us too. That's the voice of the Lord. That's when He begins to move within our heart, within our spirit. And I'm thankful today that it has the same guidance, it has the same encouragement, it gives us hope, it gives us strength. What about the time when Jesus was walking and he looked up in that sycamore tree and he saw Zacchaeus? You know, people kind of were moaning and groaning under their breath because he was a tax collector. But Jesus spoke the words to Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree, for I must abide at your house today. today? What words? You know, he just got up in the tree to see Jesus. Great desire. He was a man of little, it said he's a man of little stature. He couldn't see, so he got up in this tree to be able to get a glimpse. Not only did he get a glimpse, but Jesus said, "Today, I want to come to abide in your house." And when he was at the house, Zacchaeus said, "If I've taken anything by false accusation, I'll restore." He said, didn't he say fourfold? "I'll restore fourfold. If I've done the things that I've done wrong, I'll make it right." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house today." Oh, what wonderful words. What wonderful. He knew what to say. He knew when to say it. He knew what was needed. You know, it's the same way in our lives today. He knows our needs. He knows what we're thinking. You know, when he was in the crowd, different places, he knew their thoughts. You know, when he was at the Pharisee's house, the Pharisee was thinking, "Well, this man, he can't be a prophet. He's eating with sinners. He accepts sinners. What a wonderful testimony." What a wonderful testimony of Christ. He accepts sinners. He was a friend of sinners. You know, we want to be a friend of sinners too. That's what we want to be. We want to offer people hope. We want to offer them encouragement. There's so much despair in our world today. There's so much depression, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. There's so much fear in the world today. You and I have an opportunity to have gracious words, words of comfort and help and strength to people. Grace is poured into thy lips. Sister Betty Lachey and Brother Bill, they used to get up at Guthrie several different times. They sang a song, "Wonderful Words of Life." I don't remember if you ever remember it. Sister Betty sure got into that, her singing. Wonderful words. Beautiful words, gracious words of life. And I'm thankful today that's our Savior. He's our Lord. And He has that same ability today to speak to us, to give us help, to give us encouragement, to give us strength. And I'm thankful that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Grace is poured into His lips. And He's able to help us. He's able to speak the words to us that we need to hear that will help us in life's journey. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to Him.